Good afternoon. This is the Center Court podcast for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside my colleague Drew Bonifant. Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am not unwell, thank you. And our guest this week is Richmond girls basketball coach Mike Ladner. Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Little background, Mike and I were teammates on the Kennebec Indians men's baseball league team about 10 years ago. So it's always nice to have a former teammate in here.
Yes. That was quite a while ago.
That was about 10, 11 years ago, I think, yeah.
Yes, no, those were fun times.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not here to talk about old Sunday morning baseball glory. Let's talk about your team, Mike. 17-0 with the regular season finale against Valley tonight, Wednesday night, as we record this. Just talking about how the season's been going for you guys so far this season.
It's been, obviously, it's been a pleasant season. We're young. But overall, it's been enjoyable. Did I expect to be 17-0 right now? No. The start of the season, it was a grind, to be honest with you. We won a few close games, and I think we learned from that. But as the season's progressed, I really truly feel that we've gotten better. So I think we're peaking right now, to be honest with you.
Last year's team had a great regular season as well, 16-2?
Correct.
For the final record. Has it felt like this team has been doing what last year's team was doing, or has it felt like a whole different team out there this time around?
It feels like a different team, to be honest with you. I still got a few of the same girls, I believe three girls that started for me last year, so I have three returning starters. But as far as our style of play, we play faster this year. Our nucleus is a little different because last year I carried 14 girls. This year I have 10, but really only one of them is an exchange student who's never played before. Mm. So my bench is much thinner this year. So I've basically been playing seven girls and get a nice rotation in. It's been going well.
Yeah. Second year in Class C now that the five-class format's grown a little bit. How has your team adjusted to playing up? Because for years, Richmond was in Class D, very successful there, and just the success has been there in the regular season in C. Tough way to end the tournament last year, the quarterfinal loss. But how have you guys maybe adjusted to this new level of basketball you're forced to play in the postseason particularly?
Well, we've tried to, beef up our regular season schedule. We actually play 11 games against Class C schools and 7 games against Class D.
Sure.
So that's helped this year. And then also over the summer, we played a bunch of A and B schools over the summer. And then during preseason this year, we played a few of the MVC schools. Then we also played some A and B schools down at the Gardner tournament. And then over Christmas, we played a couple of A schools. So we've been trying to beef it up as on that end of it, preseason, Christmas, trying to play some tougher teams.
Sure.
So we do get used to it. So when we do get to the tournament, we're prepared.
Has there been a change between the D teams that you're playing largely before the realignment and now the C teams that you're playing? Is there a difference, noticeable step up in the competition there? I mean, it seems like your team's been able to handle that pretty well.
I think there has been a step up in competition, but I also feel that we have stepped up as well as a team. We've improved. I think if we were in D, we'd be quite successful right now. I just think that we've improved that much. We're playing quite well right now.
Sounds like the East-West Conference was pretty easy to let you work around that. And obviously, you got to play some of those teams, mm-hmm. traditional rivals like Valley, Rangeley. Buckfield also moved up to C with you, so that's a
correct.
That's
yep.
as a help.
Yep. And then it helps that we play OOB, which is a good C team. I mean,
sure.
If you see in the standings, I believe they're in fifth place. And it's kind of tricky because I think they're 10-6 right now. But if you look, they play a lot of B schools. So their record's deceiving, but they play a tough schedule. Them and Waynefleet both. And then we picked up St. Dom's this year as well, which I think's helped. So, yeah, I mean, and where we're not, we haven't been able to get into the MVC or the Western Maine Conference. We just try to pick and choose as many games. Like you said, the East-West Conference has been flexible with us,
yep.
letting us try to go outside their conference and pick up some C games because they understand the situation we're in. But we're not fully committed to any one conference, so to speak,
sure.
right now. So.
You look at last year, great regular season, early exit in the postseason. This year, another great season. Is there anything either you're saying to the team to try to change around the postseason, how the postseason fares?
Last year, we talked about it a lot over the course of the whole season. We played the whole chase game, the numbers game, seeing where we were every week and stuff, me as a coach and as players. This year, we have not done that. We've talked about it twice all season. The last time we talked about the opportunity to go undefeated, I think, was 2 weeks ago. It hasn't been brought up since. And our motto this year has just been game to game. You know, like, we're talking about Valley right now. That's all we've been talking about ever since our last game is Valley. You know, and so we learned from our mistakes from last year. And the other thing, too, from last year, we learned we had a 13-day break last year, and we didn't play any games at all. We did some practices and we did some team bonding, but it really felt like when we stepped onto the court last year against Searsport in the tournament, it felt like preseason again. And so we've learned from that. Like, so, for example, this year, we've already got games lined up. We're playing Lisbon next week, and we're going to play Vinalhaven again next week just to keep that competitive edge going so we are ready once the tournament comes around.
Yeah, stay in that routine of a couple games a
week. Exactly, so we're not stale, so to speak, and just flat like we were last year.
Is it tough to find teams to play those in the middle games like you found with Lisbon, like you found with Vinalhaven, or is it, are other teams also kind of looking to play some games before the tournament gets started too?
It actually hasn't been a problem this year. Last year, I struggled, and I think part of it was just me being a new coach and having some success. That's one of the reasons I didn't get a game in last year. But this year, I actually had coaches calling me within the last few weeks trying to line games up with us. So this year, it hasn't been a problem at all. I actually had to turn away a couple of coaches because I only had two play dates left.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Who, talk about your team. Who's some of the players who have kind of stepped up for you this season?
Sydney Tilton, for sure.
Right.
She just keeps getting better and better. Mackenzie Abbott stepped into a starting position this year, starting role, and she's averaging about 13 points a game. Miranda Martin, she just does a little bit of everything. She's my senior captain. She just fills up the stats. She's not much of a scorer, but assists, rebounds, steals. And then I have some younger girls. I got a couple of sophomores and a freshman that have really just been, each night it seems like one of them steps up, puts up 10 to 12 points. You know what I mean? But so each one of them averages between 4 and 6 points a game.
This is a group of kids who have had success at other sports too, soccer, softball. That's got to rub off onto basketball as well.
Correct. It does. They're used to having success to whatever they do. I almost tell them to an extent that they've been spoiled, but it's not a bad thing. And I've been in the mindset from when I first took this program over 3 years ago. The mindset, unfortunately, was they play basketball to stay in shape for softball and soccer because they had such success. But I've slowly, starting at the youth program, I've slowly been trying to change that to why can't we be successful in all three? And I think we've slowly gotten better each year, and this year I feel like we're doing quite well.
How about the rest of the class when you look at that? And like you said, your focus is on Valley tonight. But mm-hmm. when you talk about the other teams that are going to be in that postseason fray once the tournament gets started, Booth has been right at the top all season long, and they have a lot of height to their team. Monmouth has been a team, you're familiar with them. Just what are some of your thoughts on who some of the teams to really watch in this tournament are going to be?
I think you just answered your own question. I believe Booth Bay and Monmouth are going to be the two teams to watch, honestly. Madison, OOB, Waynefleet, I think on any given night, any one of those three teams could beat either one of the Booth Bay or Monmouth or us. But realistically, I think it's going to come down to probably those two and hopefully us. And then I got looking at the standings, and it looks like realistically anybody from 6 through 14 could beat anybody on any given night. Any one of those teams could beat each other on any right. given night. You know, whether it's NYA down at 14, if they have a full squad, they're a decent team. We played them at the beginning of the season, and they had a full team, and we only beat them by 11. And then we went down there, I think it was the beginning of the last week, and they had two girls out, and we beat them by 40. So it all depends, you know. If they have a full squad, they're a tough out. If they're short a few players, well, then they're gonna struggle, you know. And I think that goes for a lot of those teams, 6 through 14. If they got a full squad, they can, either one of them can beat either one.
Yeah, that balance should lead to some interesting prelim games.
Yes, it should. Yep. And there's still games tonight. I'm not even sure who, because if we stay one, we're gonna play the 8-9 winner. There's still games that have to be played before you can really figure that out. Because if you look between like 7 and 11. All those four or five teams are within 10 points of each other. Most of them have at least one game left to play. So,
yeah, it's really futile to try to figure it out until all the points are in.
Because
the one right game could change everything.
Correct. That's right. All it takes is one team to slide one way or the other, and it messes up the whole formula.
Okay, moving on. Drew, now that we're getting towards the end of the regular season, who are some of the teams that you've seen this season that maybe have surprised you a little bit, maybe exceeded expectations, playing above what maybe we expected them to play like in December?
The big one, I think, is Oak Hill and Class B South. They were 6-12.
On the boys.
On the boys, yeah,
yes.
The boys side. They were 6-12 last year and looked like they they didn't really have they were kind of waiting to see what they had in terms of returning talent, in terms of people who the kind of team that they're going to be, and they're the fourth seed right now in Class B. They beat Halldale twice, which is a really solid team in Class C. So they've proven that they're legit to an extent. So I'm interested to see how to see how that continues to go forward in the tournament. And another team are the Richmond Boys.
Sure.
And just they were in the playoffs last year, but this year they're sitting second in Class C. They have one loss. They're behind only Winthrop. And Zach Small's been one of the top scorers in our area. He's really flourished. Even though they like to spread the ball around. They like to play a more balanced offense. But they really took off at a high note at the start of the season. They've just kept up there. So like Oak Hill. Interested to see how that fares in the tournament.
Well, first let me ask Coach, have you had a chance to see the Richmond Boys? And,
yes, I have.
You know, been impressed with their play?
They're fun to watch. Like you said, they share the ball. Even though Zach Small is maybe their go-to guy, they have another three or four kids on any given night that can fill the basket. And I like their style. They like to push. They like to press. Not much height, but they're fun. And on a side note, actually, they're playing Oak Hill next week.
Oh, really?
Richmond is to get ready for the tournament.
That's a good test.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can let you know when they play if you want, in case you want to go watch. But yeah, they play next week.
Right.
That's interesting. It's always interesting to see the BC matchup and see just two teams that you would think are unfamiliar with each other, and just to see how the different styles mix. Coach, about Zach, is he a spot up shooter? Is he a kind of a cut to the basket kind of guy? Try to draw fouls, or
a little of both. To be honest with you, he has a very nice outside shot, but he also likes to take it a whole lot. He's an all around player. He's even got some decent post moves. He's fun to watch.
Oh, really?
Would have liked to have seen the game up at Valley when he went for 40 something, and Austin Cates from Valley went for 40, and they just kind of went back and forth with each other for the night.
That was fun to watch. It was fun to watch as a fan, but it being a defensive coach, I struggled with it a little bit because there wasn't much defense there for a little while. But yes, they're both incredible ball players, and it was like they were one upping each other for a little while. It was fun.
Yeah, a couple of the teams that have surprised me a little bit. One that was very good last year, the Madison Boys. Not that I didn't expect them to be good this year, I did. But when you graduate some of the players that they did, and then come back, Mitch Jarvis has stepped up his game. They get Nick Morales returning. Some other the younger guys have stepped up, and they've gone 15-3, and I think they're sitting just behind Richmond Boys in the Class C South standings. Another Class C South team, Mount Abram, hasn't made the playoffs in forever. I'd have to go back and look. It's been that long, and they don't have a lot of wins. They have four right now with one more game to play, but they've beaten the right teams, and they've beaten Oak Hill, Wiscasset, and Madison. So they've got the heel points and have put themselves in line for a prelim round game. And then you're looking at the Winthrop girls. A few years ago, they had to drop varsity status and just rebuild the program. Now they're 10-7, sitting in sixth place in C South with one more game against, I think, Halldale coming up tonight, Wednesday night. So that's just a nice story to see a team that had gotten to as low as they can get to now be a contender for a playoff spot again.
Mount Abram was looking like they were headed for a winless season for part of the season. Talk about salvaging.
Yeah, 0-10 to start the year, and then reeled off some wins and getting hot at the right time.
Not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
Right. What are some of the games? There's probably none really, Drew, because we're getting towards the prelims coming up, but is there anything you're looking to see as the playoffs start?
Well, like I said, the how the Richmond and Oak Hill teams do is one. Gardner in Class A has played some. The Gardner boys have played some.
Yeah.
Have played well against some really good teams, beating Oxford Hills, beating Hamden. So they look like a team that could beat anybody they play. It's just a matter of consistency. So it's going to be interesting to see which of those teams shows up in tournament time. And another team that struck me as kind of a team that also looks very, very good on some nights is Skowhegan.
Right.
Skowhegan boys look like they are they have some size, they have speed. They use the they like to make things happen in transition, and so it's interesting if they can parlay that into a long tournament run. Looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, that Class A North tournament looks like it should be very competitive.
Oh yeah,
with Nokomis just beating Hamden last night, Tuesday night, Other than an undefeated Mandomic Valley team, you're looking at 2 through 10 that are, you know, beating each other up, and should be for an interesting time at the Augusta Civic Center in a couple weeks.
And even last, you know, if they're sitting in the last spot to make the Class A tournament, but Coney, they also have a win over Hamden this year, and they're a team that they like to hoist up shots. They like to coach is nodding, he knows. They like to. They should make a team where if they get hot, they can really be a thorn in the side of whoever they go up against. So
definitely.
Is that a Cinderella team? We'll see.
And I'm always interested in seeing prelim games, tournament in general. When you get teams from different conferences playing each other, you see it a lot in like Class B North, where you'll get like a Winslow versus a Mount Desert Island, for an example. You know, two teams don't really know each other, and you know, is there a little feeling out period? Is there, you know, kind of a back and forth? I'm sure, you know, in the tournament you've seen that. You can scout so much, but until you see them on the court.
It's a chess game at first. You feel them out and see what you give and take, see what you can get, see the strengths and weaknesses, but definitely for sure.
Okay. All right, that'll do it for us. Coach Ladner, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
For Drew, I'm Travis, and we will be back next week to talk about the tournament on the Center Court Podcast.